song in my soul today, a song of praise.
Hallelujah.
My heart was distressed. My heart was distressed, but the whole was dread brown, alone in the pit
where my sins dragged me down.
I cried to the Lord from the deep fiery clay, who tenderly brought me out to gold. Strong rock by his side, my steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling, here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. Because he revelations. Amen.
He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
One more time. Let's give him all the praise. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay.
He set my feet song in my soul today, a song of praise.
Hallelujah. Amen. It is good to be in the house. You may be seated. Go ahead, sis. Amen, yes. Amen. Oh.
I come to the garden alone. Well, the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me in the garden with Him. Though the night all around me is falling, but He bids me go through the voice of with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known, none other has ever known.
Amen, amen. At this time, why don't you guys just get up and greet your neighbor and tell each other how much you love them. It's good to be here right now. I feel that sweet spirit in here. Brother Moore, give me a C, please. Meeting in the air. I've heard a little Moses and the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. Where there are many, many others in that Bible, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them all at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Never heard by mortal ears, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Many things will there be missing in that meeting. The mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinners had refused to heed the call. There'll be many things that lights of leading prayer. There will burdens and our anguish will be lifted up at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the angels will be busy far away. There the saints will have this seal upon their sky. Oh, such singing we will hear Go ahead, sis.
Happy to be here. I am a believer of this message. I identify with this message, but I just wanted to share. There was a very eventful day that happened this week, but I just want to let people know that my God, He came through. He came through, and I tell you, prayer does answer. Prayers are the way to go. I am just so grateful and thankful. I'm just full. I'm just full. And Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, Brother James, you're bringing it. You're bringing it. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I hear everything that you say, and I do believe it. And things that I don't understand, I put it up there on the shelf, and I keep coming back to receive the word. And my young people, please, please listen to mom and dad, okay? Listen Amen. To other sisters and brothers who are believer in Jesus Christ, Amen. Because their guidance is going to help you. There's nothing Amen. Out in this world but chaos, and we don't want that. We're ready to go up there and meet with the Lord.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
I just wanted to get up here because I have a song to play, and if I didn't get up here, I wanted to make myself get up here, so I'm glad I'm here, but Amen. I just wanted to say, please keep my family in your prayers. My dad's older brother passed away. It was pretty quick and sudden, so just keep him in your prayer. My dad doesn't know, but and it would hurt him if he did know. He wouldn't remember, but just please keep my family in your prayer, and I am just thankful and so happy to be here. So somebody can testify while I get ready.
Go ahead, sis.
Last week I forgot to testify. You know, every time I get up here, I always don't know what I'm going to say, you know, and then I think I know what I'm going to say, and then everything, I don't want to say it. But I wanted to, we asked for a prayer cloth 2 weeks, Pastor Moore, from my aunt. They were cutting down. They were helping a neighbor take in mind. My aunt's 8 years old. I don't know why she was even bothered doing that, but the tree rolled over on her, and it broke her hip. It collapsed her lung. They had to go in and put a plate in to get the lung or the pressure off her lung. And she is doing great. Ever since the prayer class, she is doing great. Like, you know, something like that can kill you. You know, she was in ICU. She was, you know, being that old too. You know. And she's been one of my favorite aunts, and I just wanted to thank, you know, the church for praying. Those, you know, our prayer cloths do work. And the other thing I wanted to be thankful for, I told some people last week, I think I told Sister Mel, but those tomatoes I was giving out last week, you know, I was telling Kevin, you know, after one of our trips, like, you know, I was like, man, I'm so sad I couldn't do a garden this year, you know, because I wasn't strong enough to walk back and forth because of the pain and stuff. And we came home from vacation, swear, there was a tomato plant at least this high in my garden and all this cilantro, and I'm a cilantro eater. But, you know, I'm just thankful, you know, God listens, you know.
Amen.
And another thing I wanted, you know, to be thankful for and be mindful of, you know, when Pastor Moore talks about, too, you know, that's not the devil, that's just you, you know. That's true, you know, because people want to blame it on the devil. I've never done that, me personally. I've always reflected on myself, like, you could have done better with that situation. You could have talked better with that situation, you know. Just things like that, you know, to be mindful of things that you say, you know. It does, you know, happen. But anyway, I wanted to thank the church, and I wanted to be thankful again that I woke up this morning. And I'm getting better, and I'm thankful. They couldn't get me in for 3 months, but they're getting me in now, the day right before Thanksgiving. So they're just trying, you know, they're trying to find out what's wrong with my gait. Because like I told Kevin, one thing, I'm done with physical therapy because, like they said, they really can't help me anymore because I'm stronger. Like, I feel stronger, but when it gets to walking, I'm not strong, and they're trying to figure out why that is. They don't know if it's a nerve. Like, sometimes I'm walking flat-footed, sometimes I'm on my toes, sometimes I'm walking like this, you know. But the fact that I'm not feeling as much pain, I'm going to be thankful for that, because like Brother John said, that can take a toll on you when you're in that much pain and trying to deal with life, you know? But I'm thankful. And then I want to also be thankful. My grandbabies that were in the NIC unit, both of them last year, about to turn, one's 10 and a half months old, walking already, my little strong Dakota. And little Donovan, he's just my chunker. I call him my little Buddha baby, but he's doing very well. So both my grandbabies are about to be a year old, so I'm thankful.
Amen, amen. Go ahead, Brother Daskin.
Amen. A lot to keep track of.
It's all right. We'll make it.
That's where it should be. You know, I'm thankful. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that, you know, Brother Bram said at one time, you know, when he was playing the song, he said, did you notice it went up a step? You know, do you notice around here? It's gone up a step. This is a bride that knows what it is.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful. You know, they mentioned about going through them doors and not coming back out when we go back to eat. I'm looking for that. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Go back here, see all my friends, my loved ones, and it just opened up to eternity. And Brother Jim asked me this morning, he said, how you doing? I said, well, eternal life's eternal life. Never had it, never lose it. I mean, that should explain it. But, you know, I'm so thankful that we are where we are. Yeah. You know, it's a rest. Yeah. It's a rest with your friends and loved ones. I was thinking about asking somebody to come to church. I thought about it earlier in the week, and then I talked to him again, and I thought, yeah. You know, it just wasn't that strong from there. So it doesn't matter. I got him anyway. But, you know, it's just beautiful to see what God's doing right now and how he's moving his bride. Amen. Step by step, strong, step by step. I look at the people I was watching come in and say, we're strong people, each one. I mean, you look like athletes. You know, you got spring in your step. You know, you're sure of what you're doing. You know, you're trained, you're ready.
Absolutely.
And I'm so thankful that God has brought us to a place like this, just like he said he would. Amen.
Amen. Now we've got our sister here who's going to play a song, two more testimonies, and I'm cutting it off.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sis.
Surely this is a blessed place. As we come here in the presence of God, I mean, you can just feel the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit as soon as I walk in here.
Yes.
You don't always have to do the same thing. You know, I don't always have to sing, amen. But I'm going to give God a victory lap. I'm going to take a victory lap for the Lord. Some people said they're afraid of bees, or some people are afraid of dogs. Well, I'm afraid of 75 North. Amen. And then, you know, I said I had a condition with my eyes, and it said, do you believe God or not? Did he come here or not? Is he here? He's either here. He either did it or he didn't. So, you know, all the time I'm thinking about how can I do better for you, Lord Jesus? Because you've been so good to me. Everything I needed, you have already provided. And like somebody said last week, they said, whatever God asks you to do, he provides it for you. So therefore, I was laying in the bed the other day, and my sister had shoulder surgery. And, you know, they struggle. They're not doing well and everything. But he lives in Columbus, Ohio. And I wanted to go see him. And I said, oh, God, what can I do? And so in my heart, I wanted to go to Columbus, Ohio. But to get to Columbus, Ohio, you got to get on the highway. So first, you know, you take the short way out. I asked my other brother, I said, you want to go? You know, you're going to drive it for me? He said, I got to do something else that day. So I said, I want to do this for God. I want to do this. This is burning my heart. So Sister Clarice went to Kroger's. She put gas in the car. She got that funny looking thing on the dashboard working so it talked back to you and tell you where you're going. And I got in the car and I didn't get on 75, but I got on 70 East. And I said, Lord, this seems like a long way to go. And I thought about Sister Christy, who used to go to church in London. I said, this is way out here. But I said, you know what? God promised me. He said, anything you ask in my name, he said, I might do it. That ain't what he said. He said, I will do it. Now, either he will or he lied to me. He has never lied to me. He never will. I want my mountain. I want my mountain. Oh, the mountain that the Lord has promised me. You know, I might just break out with something and hit you, and you just go ahead and do it. I don't care if you know it or not. Because we came here, he speaks to us here. Oh, God is real. I'm so glad there's a God. You know, you Amen. Look around and things look dark. Things look shaky. People have lost their minds. There's spirits running left and right. But the bride of Jesus Christ, she knows who she is now. And Amen. we will do it. Amen. He promised us. Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. You'll be the last one. Brother Cole.
So I just want to get up here today. I'm so nervous, dude. I'm so nervous. So I lost my best friend for suicide when I was in sixth grade. And I just want to get up here, and I felt that way for so many years. And then when I came up here 3 months ago or 2 months ago, whatever it was, I felt the Spirit of the Lord, and it was just amazing. I wanted to feel that way over and over and over.
Amen.
So I want to come here every weekend, but I have things to do every weekend. So I wanted to come on Wednesdays, but I have Muay Thai, which is kickboxing on Wednesdays. But I'll try to come here every Sunday to feel that feeling over and over, because I was feeling suicidal every single week over and over, and I didn't want to feel that no more. So I wanted to go to a church forever. I wanted to get online to do a church. I want to do anything I could to feel the Lord's in my body.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I finally got it. I finally got it. And the Lord is real. The Lord is Amen. Real. I love him. I love him.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the testimonies. By way of announcement, don't forget to text me your Christmas songs, whatever you guys are going to sing for Christmas service. Today, however, after service, don't leave so quickly. We've got a bunch of food back there being prepared right now. So please stay, fellowship. And then New Year's service be on the 31st. Dinner's going to be at 6, service at 8. And next week, Thursday, we do have music practice for the musicians. So that's all for the announcements. Yeah. Oh. Brother Rosaldo will be here for Sunday service on New Year's. So we're looking forward to that. Anybody. We're looking for anybody that once they just come in here, come and dine. This table's already spread. And, you know, it's really, really good to see my buddy Kendall here. And, you know, it's a precious brother that, you know, gave me and Tommy a good opportunity to do some work and stuff. And he had a lot of grace on us. And we need it out there. And I just thank God for him. He said he was looking for a place to fellowship and have church away from home and such. So I'm just happy to have him here. God bless you. We are standing on holy ground, key of D, and then we'll get him up. God bless the testimonies. And we'll start with the chorus.
There is joy. In his presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at his feet peace of mind can still be found. us reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground.
Hallelujah, we are standing.
We are as I walk through the door. Oh, as I walk through the door, I sense His presence. And I knew it was, and I knew it was the place where love abides. Holy ground. Oh, we are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful this morning to be able to come into this temple. Well, we know it's not the temple itself. It's not the church itself. It wasn't the mountain. But when you moved on that mountain, it made it holy. When you moved into this temple today, Lord Jesus, you made it a holy temple. You made it holy ground. And now we're standing here this morning in worship and praise to you for all that you've done and all that you mean and how you answer prayer, how you, Lord, solve our problems, how you give us hope when there seems to be no hope, how you give us solutions. And then more so than that, Lord, you give us eternal life. And Lord, we want to thank you for all these things and ask you this morning to move every hindrance aside, anything that might keep us from reaching the hem of your garment, Lord, move it aside, press through the crowd, and help us just touch you one more time, Lord. For if we can touch you, Lord, everything else will fall into place. Our lives will line up. Our heart will line up. Our focus and direction will line up. That's what we come for today, and Lord, as we take a few minutes to talk over your word, and Lord, we can open it and read it, and but it takes you to come here this morning and to make it real to us. Oh, we come with expectation. We come expecting you to come and expecting you to talk to us and make this thing real to us. Help us, Lord, for the next few minutes to just speak to the people and give them something that make them want more. Thank you for this truth and the love for it, Father. Thank you for touching those that are sick, that, Lord, we've heard reports back on your healing power. Thank you for answering prayers and being with us. And Father, we ask you to just be with us throughout this day. Lord, take this word that's open before us and make it real to us. Let it be as though we've never read it before in our lives, though we may have read it 100 times, but it makes all the difference when you walk the aisles and you whisper the real understanding to our hearts. Thank you for it all, Father. Have your way today. Move both the speaker and the hearer aside that you can have full reign in this place this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Before you be seated, I got a scripture reading to do. And it's not a long one, so I'll read it, and then we'll have you take your seats. If you turn with me over to Genesis chapter 2. Start with verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eat of thee thereof, thou shalt surely die. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading word. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have a place to come to. You know, it's sad that we're living in an hour that sixth graders have to worry about suicide. When I was growing up, that wasn't even a thing that was in my vocabulary. But it shows you the hour that we're living in, and we have to give young people hope. We have to give middle-aged people hope. We have to give old people hope. Because it's an hour that people don't value life. They don't value life. And it takes an understanding of who you are to really give you the value that you need in life. And I appreciate our brother coming. He said he's going, I still ain't forgot, you're going to be baptized. He said he wants to be baptized, and one of these Sunday mornings when you're coming, let us know. We'll be ready for you. We just need a little notice so that we can get the water in there. We want to warm it up for you. Everybody who's ever been baptized here, no, that ain't happening. But we do want to get you baptized because you see it in the scriptures and you want to do it, and we want to make it happen, and your dad can make sure that happens, because I'm sure he's the one to come and get you. So you can just let us know in advance, and we'll make sure that it's ready, because we want you ready. You know, it's an hour that you need to have answers. You need to have a peace of mind. This world is so tore up that you got to have something in it for you. You got to have a reason to live. People don't have a reason to live anymore. They really don't. They look at the future and it's bleak. They look at the world and it's bleak. They turn on the news, and news ain't news unless it's bad. Just think if they put on the news and all they did all the whole hour or the half hour was tell you good things. They'd lose their rating. They would. People don't, you know, they say bad news travels 10 times faster than good news. If you put bad news on, everybody's going to want to hear it. But if you say, hey, this person went to church today, this person got saved, this person believes in God, this person, they'll turn you off so fast. They ain't going to damn. So we got to give hope to the world. And not to the world. I'm talking about us. You know, give us a reason to keep coming. Give us a reason to keep pushing. Give us a reason to realize that God needs to be first. So you need to understand this, because if you don't understand it, you're going to make the wrong decisions. And that comes my message this morning. I want to talk this morning, and we've been talking on it for the last few weeks and months, I guess. I don't know how long it's been on and off and hitting around it. But I want to talk this morning on free moral agency. You can title it Free Moral Agency. It's your choice. And that's the title. You said, that's a long title. Well, if you don't understand what free moral agency is, you get that hyphen in the middle that says, it's your choice. So, in an hour where I've never seen so many hyphenated names, I'm going to hyphenate my title. It's your choice. So if you don't remember Free Moral Agency, just remember, it's your choice. Now, I wanted to go over here to Genesis chapter 2, because this is an amazing thing to me. That God, who is God, could do anything he wanted. He could have done, he could have preached to us through the stars, the sun, the moon. He could have made us in such a way that when we're first born, we know everything. He could have made it such a way that we would come onto the earth and we would automatically love him and automatically serve him. And just worship him, and just, he could have had us, you know how kings are, they just have people worship him, whether they want to or not. They'll fan him, they'll feed him grapes, they'll do all this stuff, because he's the king. Well, God could have had all of that. But God wanted to express some things that was in him, that if he did it that way, it would have never happened. And so when God created the heavens and the earth, he put everything in its order. Right. He made every animal subject to the animal kingdom. They didn't eat each other. The plants grew, the trees grew, the water flowed, everything ran, fish swam, everything was perfect. Then he created man. Now, all the other animals that he ever created had to obey him. And they didn't have a choice in the matter. A dog is a dog. Like Don says, a dog's going to bark. You know, I have a neighbor down the street, two doors down. He has about five, I don't know how many. I've never counted them. He must have five or six bloodhounds that he trains. But the problem is not that he has them. I don't mind that. The problem is that like 5:30, because I think he works, 5:30 every morning, he opens the door and let them all out in the backyard. And every one of them's got to bark. So in the summertime when my windows are open, I'm awake at 5:30 every morning, like clockwork. Now I can get mad at those dogs, but the dogs are doing what dogs do. They're doing what they were created to do. And if I were going to get mad at anybody, it would be the one to open the door and let them out. He doesn't have to do that. He had a choice in the matter, but the dogs didn't have a choice in the matter. They are who they are, and they do what they do. Animals do that even to this day. Trees grow because they are made by God to do so. They bear fruit, each one of his kind, because God said do it. They don't adjust. You don't see an apple tree passing oranges over and switching up with an orange tree. You don't see grapes changing their fruit and doing things. Everything in nature does just exactly what God told it to do. They don't have a choice. Even to the day, they still are doing what God created them to do. Now, they got a curse on them, just like everything else does, but the curse didn't stop what God told them to do. But they didn't have a choice then, and they don't have a choice now. but you. We're made a little different. Adam and Eve were made a little different. In order for God to really have true worship from someone who could appreciate his attribute, he had to put them a free moral agency to allow them to choose. See, choice is a good thing. Choice is not a bad thing. Choice is a good thing. And I love it because we've been talking about free moral agency lately and hitting around and talking about and thinking about choice and talking about choice. But honestly, choice is the best thing that we could ever have happen to us.
Amen.
Because when God created Adam and he put him in the Garden of Eden, though Adam was created by the spoken word, he had the ability to choose. And when God set him in the garden, God set him from day one. Said, Adam, I'm going to put you in here. But I'm going to do it like this. You can do whatever you want. And you have a choice on what you want to do. And if you choose this one, you'll go this way. And if you choose this one, you'll go, why would God do that? Why didn't he make him like the dog? He wanted man to have the ability to choose, because in order for some of his attributes to be fulfilled, they had to be able to choose what they wanted to do. Now, an attribute is something that is a part of you, that's in you, that wants to manifest itself out through you, but it has to have certain elements in place in order for it to happen. For an example, my name is Nate. When I was 6 years old, I had an attribute in me to be a father. But I wasn't a father. I had an attribute in me to be a brother. And I was a brother. And I had an attribute in me to be a husband. But I didn't marry Clarice at six. So these elements, these attributes that are in you, are in you all the way through. But it takes circumstances to cause the attributes to fulfill what is in you to do. That's the simplest form on how to describe Elohim, which is, Elohim is self-existing one. That's God before he was God. So that's the simplest form to express God. God had attributes in him, and in order for those attributes to come out of him, there had to be something to cause those expressions to happen. When I got old enough, and I got ready to get married, and I got into my 20s, when I married at 25 years old. And when I took Clarice as my wife, then my attribute as a husband came into manifestation. Now, this should be easy for us to understand. Sometimes we think this word is hard, but it ain't that hard. All you got to do is look at nature itself. It testifies to these things. I was not a husband until I got a wife. I could have claimed being a husband all I wanted. I could have said I'm a husband. I could have said I'm a father. I could have said I'm a pastor, but at 24, 25, I was none of those. What made me a husband was the manifestation of getting a wife. And in me was an attribute to be a father. So by getting married, and that wasn't the reason I was a father. I ain't going to tell you, Brother Lockett. But when a man and a woman get together, married or not, they can produce a child. And that makes them a parent. Well, when I had three children, that made me a father. I didn't have to go and figure it out. It automatically manifested itself out through my very life.
Amen.
So God, before he was God, wanted to be God, and God is an object of worship. Well, creating Adam didn't make him God. He created angels before he created Adam. And when he created the angels and the angels started worshiping him, that became what made him God. Still with me? And I'm trying to break it down because sometimes we get caught in the fog and we feel like, I don't understand this, but you really do. You really do understand. All you got to do is look at nature. So God became God when he created angels. But God had other attributes in him just like I had attributes in me. And God wanted to be a redeemer. That's an attribute. That is one who redeems. To buy back. To bring back. So in order to bring something back, it had to be lost. I don't go try to find my keys when I know they're right there. They're not lost. They're sitting right there. I can see it. Now, if Clarice gets my keys, they're lost. She'll put them anywhere. So in order for you to be lost, and still this is simple, in order for God to find you, you had to be lost. So God couldn't have anything lost if it was perfect. If it didn't have a choice, if he couldn't choose, he could have not been lost if he had stayed with what God said. But God created man in such a way that he put him on free moral agency, that he had the ability to choose right from wrong. No other animal could do that. And he put Adam in the Garden of Eden. And first thing he told him, Adam, don't touch that tree. Now why? Who created the tree? He stacked the deck. He created Satan. Because he could not make us fall and be a just God. So in order for him to be a just God, he had to create something lesser than him that could do the dirty work. So he created Lucifer. And he was the closest thing to God. Second in command. Running the show. But God knew Lucifer was built like he was. He built him for that purpose. Because in the mind of God, he wanted to be a redeemer. And in order for him to be a redeemer, man had to fall. And he couldn't do it himself. He couldn't trip man. See how this was working? So God created Lucifer. Lucifer took a third of heaven with him when he fell. Adam wasn't the first one to fall. Lucifer fell. Took a third of heaven. A third of heaven fell. And every last one of them were made in order for that to happen. Now, God didn't even make them fall. They had a choice too. Two-thirds of heaven chose to stay with God. So, see, God is not going to force you to do anything. He's going to make it so that you can choose. And when you choose, what you choose will determine who you are. It'll determine the route that you take. Every choice that you make determines a route for you. When you get up in the morning and you get ready to put on clothes and you're trying to pick out what to wear, what you wear, what you pick out is your choice for the day. Whether it's something that's revealing. Because some people get up and they put them on purpose. Some guys, when they work out, you know, they'll leave the top three buttons undone. That's on purpose. The women, they'll get a skirt and the slit. I remember Jay, I always use him as an example. He had this girlfriend, and I thought he was going to take her to the prom or wherever they're going, homecoming, I think. And I was over there, Michelle wanted me to meet her, and I'm like, oh, look at her. She's godly. She's dressed up and had this nice long flowing robe down on ground all the way to the floor. I said, God bless her. She's almost just Christian-like, you know. And Jay introduced her, and I went to lean out to shake her hand, and she went to lean out to shake my hand. And her whole dress opened up, all right, all the way up to there. I was like, oh, my goodness. Man, that wasn't torn. That was sewn like that. But these are our choices. We choose what to wear. We choose how to dress. We choose how to act. We choose. But that's a good thing to choose. It's good to have a choice. Brother Branham said, now, we are all born a free moral agent to make any decision that we wish to. God justly does that because he must put every man on the same basis. He put a first man, if he put the first man on the wrong basis, then he put the first, then he put him on free moral agency, see? We're just exactly tonight like Adam and Eve. There's no difference. You look at Adam and Eve, say, if I was Adam, if I was Eve, I chose this, I'd have done that. You'd have done just what you're doing today. Right. There's no difference. Right and wrong is set before every one of us. Life and death. We can make our choice. It's up to you to make it, see? We have a tendency, especially in this message, we want to believe in predestination because we want to think that God's doing all these things for us. And I keep backing us up every time I hear somebody say, you know what, thank God for my seed or thank God for the Holy Ghost or thank God is making me do these things. I'm like, no, no, no. I back up and run over it again because I think, no, you're not getting it. You got to understand, it's your choosing.
Right, man.
The Holy Ghost ain't choosing for you. God is not making you serve him.
Amen.
He's standing on one side and Satan's standing on the other. God's giving you one advice and Satan's giving you another. God's saying you should do this. God says you should live like this. God says you should dress like this. God says you should act like that. And Satan's saying, no, you can do this. You can do that. Now, you're in the middle. You are the real you. You are standing there. And you have a God-given choice
right.
to make. Just as much as if you were Adam and Eve, you would have been standing in the same predicament as you are today. You said, well, if I was Adam and I saw all the garden and walking and talking with the Lord in the cool of the day, and if God was doing all these things, there's no way I'd turn them down. We're walking with God in the cool of the day. We're back in the Garden of Eden condition, everything except for our houses. And if you don't choose God today, you wouldn't have chosen then. You say, if I was there with Jesus, I wouldn't have crucified him. What are you doing today? Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all he wants. He only wants that which was lost. Now God, before there was a world, already transferred names into the Lamb's Book of Life. Now one would think, if God's putting these names in the Lamb's Book of Life and they can't be taken off and they're going to be there when it's all said and done, how does that make free moral agency work? If God's already got my name transferred, then I don't have nothing to do. You must understand, God predestinates, not like we think. God is watching your choices. And by your choice, he predestinates. See, you know, when I was apostolic, we didn't believe in predestination. We thought that was just a Baptist excuse to be able to get away with anything. That's what we said. But the Bible's full of predestination. But what people don't understand is God foreknew all of those who he predestinated. And the way that predestination works is that because we're trying to give people eternal life. You can't give out eternal life. If you come here today expecting me to give you eternal life, it ain't happening. Because the very terminology for that word eternal means it didn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. So somewhere along the line, you gotta put eternal in there with predestination in there, with foreknowledge in there, with choice in there, and all this got to be mixed in there together, and somehow it's got to make sense. So if you have eternal life today, right now, if you have eternal life, I don't care if you've never given your heart to God. Because we think that's the determining factor. It is not. Giving your heart to God does not change your eternal destination. Right. If you have eternal life today, sitting in this building, you've always had it.
Right.
That's the definition of eternal. No beginning and no ending.
Right.
And now you're going to ask me, how am I going to have eternal life if I've never done anything to deserve it? None of us deserves it. But you got to understand how God, see, God is omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already declared the end from the beginning. God already knows the last day. He already knows the end of the story. He already knows everything. God knows everything. If he doesn't know everything, he's not God.
Amen.
If your God don't know everything, you need a new God. My God knows everything. He's already declared the end from the beginning. So if you want to talk about eternal life, let's talk about that for a second. Because you got to tie it all in there together. If you have eternal life today, it's because you always had it. So how do I get it? You can't. You cannot get eternal life. So somewhere along the line, God's got to do something for you that's going to cause you. It's like, you know, remember back in grade school when you jump on the merry-go-round? You go out there and the kids are already on it. And, you know, you get up there. There's many times I didn't jump and hit at the right time. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get in eternal life. How do I get in there? How do I get eternal life? How do I live forever? Well, the thing about it, the eternal life, is that God has to put it in you at your natural birth.
Right.
Or it's not eternal.
Right.
So God, in order to determine who gets it and who doesn't get it, he has to come down here in time. And remember, we're free moral agents. You have a choice to make, but God has to come down here and look at what your choices are and determine whether or not you're going to go all the way with him. And if you are going to go all the way with him, by his foreknowledge, he goes back to your natural birth date and puts a seed, a little seed, because that little seed is eternal life.
Right.
That's the real gift of God. He puts that in you at your natural birth,
right,
knowing that you're going to come to him at some point, because he's God. He predestinates by his foreknowledge.
Yes. Amen.
His foreknowledge of what you do.
Right.
His foreknowledge of your choices. It's not God's choices. It's not Satan's choices. It's actually you.
Amen.
That's why Brother Children says, don't take away everything, because we have a tendency to say, you know, God's got it. God's everything. He's got it all. He knows it all from the end, from the beginning. He declared it's him. It's all God. And I'm just walking what God's doing. No. You got it backwards. God's walking what you're doing. He's looking at your choices. Because if it were any other way, it wouldn't be free moral agency. So we have a tendency to want to say God's doing all this work, and God's trying to say, quit giving me that. That's not me. That's you. You literally, really love God.
Amen.
You literally, really choose to serve God. It's your choice. We're taking it out of our hands and trying to put it in God's hands. I'm predestinated, so God's going to make me. God's not going to make you do nothing.
Right.
He wouldn't even be God if he did. Well, not a just one anyway. So if you have eternal life, that means you have a seed of God in you and you've had it all along. You've always had eternal life. It had no starting and no ending. It had a time of manifestation, just like me. As a six-year-old, I had an attribute in me to be a father and a husband, but it wasn't time of manifestation. And when you come into the world, you have that eternal germ seed of God in you already, but it's not a time of manifestation. That's why baptizing babies don't work. You have to make a decision.
Amen.
You have to decide, do you want this? As a young person, you have to decide this for yourself.
Right.
When you come of age to where you're sitting here and you know it's God and God's talking to you and God's telling you, you need to decide. You need to come and give your heart. You need to do these things. Those are choices that you have to make yourself.
Right.
Amen. Tommy's son said, I come to church the first time and I said, whoa, God's in this place. He's been saying that ever since he's been here. He ain't just starting to say that. He said it since he's been here. God's in this place. That's him recognizing. That ain't God anointing saying, oh, no. No, that's him saying, ooh, I love God. And that's his choice. When you repent and be baptized, that's not God doing that. That's you repenting. That's you turning around. That's you being baptized. That's you surrendering to God. That's you deciding to do these things. You choose to live for Christ. You choose to walk this walk. God's not forcing none of it. But God knows. Do you know Adam, when he put him in the garden where we read, when God put Adam in the garden, God had already slain the lamb from before the foundation of the world in his mind. Because he already knew what Adam and Eve was going to do.
Amen.
He didn't make them do it, but he knew they were going to. Because he's God. You can't sneak up on him. No. Say, I'm gonna sneak up on God. Do you know everybody that's in church today was here, is supposed to hear this message today?
Come on, right.
You didn't sneak in here and God by surprise said, oh, you're here. So, oh, let me change my message. No, God already had a message for you.
Right.
When he put Adam in that garden, he said, Adam, don't touch that tree. He already knew he would. By his foreknowledge, he knew he would. By his foreknowledge, he knew there was going to be a fall because he wanted to express his attribute as a redeemer and a savior.
Right.
So when you come to church and you come and give your heart to God, God already knows what you're going to do. He's not going to make it, but he knows what's going to happen. Hey, Brother Branham said, but he had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior, to display what's in him, see? His attribute of savior. Something has to be lost. And the very thing that man fell and become lost, he became a savior of that, taking his own law. God, do you know God puts his own laws out there and he has to hold himself to it? That's what kind of God he is. He puts a law out there. It's a law of God.
Right.
That if you jump off a building, you're going to fall. And you're going to hit the ground. That's a law of God. You say, hallelujah, I have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go up there and do it anyway. Do it. He won't break his own law for your ignorance. His law is going to take over. And even if you repent halfway down, it ain't going to help. God has laws. And God holds himself to laws. God says a man can't come before me unless he's perfect. Well, after the fall, man wasn't perfect. So God had to make a way that man could become perfect again, because God is holy and you can't approach God and live. Now, to show you how, it's funny how choice works. I won't read it because I ain't going to let that clock catch me today. Because I know we got dinner out there or somewhere. But just to cap it off here, Luke chapter 18, won't read it. Just tell you about it. 18:18-24 is Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. We know the story. Now he was standing there with Jesus. Now, if anybody ever was going to serve God, you would think somebody that's standing right in front of Jesus would drop everything and surrender and serve him. See, the problem is, if you don't have that seed germ in you, you have no eternal life in you, somewhere along the line, you're going to fall off. I've seen people go to church for 20 years and fall off. Say, how can that be? Just didn't have nothing in them. You can go a long ways, you know, you can go a long ways on a tank of gas. But sooner or later, you're going to run out. There's a lot of people that start this race. And they're usually the ones who are the fastest runners. They're the loudest testimonies. They're the biggest ones. They just give everything. And everybody thinks, my goodness, that if I've ever seen God, there, look at God. And after a while, they start spluttering. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like that. The church is this. The church is that. And the brother, the next thing you know, the pastor's in this. Oh, well, you're gone. You think, how does that happen? Didn't have nothing in them. God knows if you're going to go all the way or not. He does. But he's not going to make you go all the way. He's going to watch you and see what you do with the word. And when the word comes your way, what you do with the word will determine if you have eternal life or not. It's not whether you talk loud enough, or it's not you doing this or you doing that. It's if you hear the word of God, and what you do with the word of God will determine your outcome. Amen. When God told Adam not to touch that tree, God had to sit back and watch. Right. He didn't come down every day. Now, Adam, I told you, Adam, you're getting close to that tree. Adam, don't go. No, he didn't have to remind him. He just put the word out there. Adam, don't touch it. When Adam touched it, his very life showed he touched it. Amen. God come down there in the cool of the evening. And Adam's like this. Hey, Lord. What's wrong, Adam? Nothing. Where were you hiding? What were you at? I was hiding from you. See, your own testimony is going to tell you. I was naked, and I was hiding from you because I was naked and afraid. It's like hiding, naked, and afraid. It's a shame. It says, I didn't teach you those attributes. Where'd you get those from? Those aren't my attributes. None of those three are God's attributes. Those are Satan's attributes. So Adam didn't have to tell God that he had been there with Satan. He didn't have to tell him. God already knew it. But because Adam was eternal and he had a seed of God in him and he couldn't be lost, do you realize anybody who's eternal cannot be lost? If you have a seed of God in you, you cannot be lost at any cost. Because you come from God and you're going back to good. That's why Brother Chilton said you can't live good enough to make it and can't live bad enough to miss it. Not if you're eternal. Because your eternal life is not determined by you. He gave it to you. The gift of God is eternal life. But the reason he gave it to you, because you went all the way with him. You know, it should give you rest. It should make you rest when you realize you know you're born again. Oh, my goodness. Talking about having it made. Satan, do you realize I'm an eternal being? Satan, do you realize nothing you can throw at me can throw me to where I can't go? You can do anything you want, Satan. I'm eternal, and I'm going all the way with this thing. I will never stop believing. That's why I always tell y'all I can outbelieve you. Now y'all understanding that statement. I can outbelieve. I can outlast you because I ain't going nowhere. How do you know you're not going anywhere? Because I'm born again, and I'm going to stay where the Word is. And I love this because it's my choice. I love that. When Johanna said, I thought it was a lottery, and come to find out, because a lottery is like, I'm going to take this one, not taking that one. Look at your number, see what your ticket is. And if you got it, oh, I got eternal life. That ain't the way it works. You got to be a part of God. You got to come from God. You got to go to God. That rich young ruler made a choice. Brother Branham said, he says, I've heard the sermon where two young men made their choices. I do not want to go that way, go the way of the rich young ruler, but I do want to go the way of Moses. I am just a child, yet lead me, dear Lord, to eternal life. See, Moses chose to suffer with the children of Israel. The rich young ruler chose not to go with Jesus. That's the same with us. We come to church, you're making a choice right here today. You say, but I've been here a long time, so do I have to make a choice today? Yeah. Every day. Every day, you got to make a choice. Because at any time, you can decide you don't want this anymore. And you know what God will say? Okay. I knew you were going to do this. I knew this was the day you were going to turn me down. So, going about your business. People walk out this door thinking they got eternal life. Just because they have heard the Bible and heard the Word and they think they're good. They're not good. God saw the day you walked out. And by that, he did not give you an eternal seed. That's how that works. So when you come to church, it's not, well, I came to this church, I've been here for 40 years. Do I not have to say, well, now I've been here for 40 years, so, you know, you don't get tenure here. There's no seniority here. You could walk out the door at 40 years. Get huffy, puffy, mad, and it doesn't change your eternal destination. It proves. So when you come to church, don't just come here and kick your feet back like, well, I got it made. No, you better pay attention. You better listen to the Word. Because when the Word comes forth, you have to decide whether you believe it or not. Every service, every time we come there, it's a, do I believe this or not? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. You're the one making the choice. You're the one making the decision. And it's not God pushing you through life saying, come on, you got to get to heaven. I got a new body on you. No. It's my choice. If I choose not to serve God, that's a valid decision. Many people have. Walked out, said, I don't believe a word of it. That's your choice. It's your decision, and God's not even going to say a word about it yet. Because he already knew. You don't surprise him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5. Brother Branham said, Esau and Jacob. See, his choices. All through the Bible, there's choices. Esau and Jacob, before either boy was born, before they even had a chance to make a choice. Now, how can they make a choice if they haven't had a chance to make a choice? God saw it. God already saw that Jacob was going to be a little sneaky guy and do whatever, and he loved the birthright and would do anything for it. And he saw Esau didn't care for it. Didn't give me a tinker for his token. He thought, because I'm firstborn, I go to church. I show up, I got it made. But then when the word come across Esau, Esau said, it doesn't have to be that strict. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a little, we can come down, compromise a little bit. Jacob was like, Esau, I'm going to get it if I have to trick you. Fixed his best soup, put it right under his nose. And Esau said, you know what? I'd rather live with this soup than die with a birthright, showing that he didn't realize, he chose the soup over the birthright. That was his choice. And people are choosing every day. You all are choosing every day. And some choices that we make makes you bitterly cry like Esau did. He tried his best to get to that birthright, but he sought it with, and he wanted it, but he couldn't have it because he sold it. It was his choice, though.
Right.
Just like it's your choice today. You don't have to serve God. But if you want to, he'll take you. Having predestinated us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're working God's will out. That's where we're at. That's what we're doing. It's God's choosing. But see, we got to understand that word. Because we use the word for God choosing as God picking Don and leaving Jay and picking. No, that's not God's choosing. God's choosing from the for the foundation of the world came into play when he come down here and saw what you did with the word. Then he went back and chose you. That's how God chooses. That's how he chooses. That's how the, because it's your free moral agency, your choice is what determines who you are.
Right.
You say, I never heard nothing like this in my life. I'm sure not. Here, this is what Brother Branham said. Now, I want to stop on that word, predestinated. Now, predestination isn't, I choose Brother Neville, and I won't choose Brother Billy Beeler. That isn't it. It's the foreknowledge of God that knowed which one would be right and which one wasn't right. So by foreknowledge, God knew what he was going to do. He predestinated by his foreknowledge to make all things work together for the good to them that love God, that he might in that age that is to come call all things together in one, which is in Christ Jesus. Which is Christ Jesus. God, he is choosing, but his choice is predicated on your choice. When you choose, God's only seeing what you did from before the foundation of the world. And for those who go all the way, God already have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't have to worry about it. I mean, poor Luther worried about it because he didn't understand what we understand. He thought, oh, Lord, somehow I'm a rotten man. Can I somehow get saved? Can I somehow make it in? Luther's name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He couldn't have missed it if he wanted to. And every person whose name is on the Lamb's Book of Life will not miss it, no matter what. Your ups and downs don't stop you. That's why when you're going through troubles, you need to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm a believer of this word. This too shall pass. I'm going all the way. I choose to serve God. I choose to go all the way. You have to choose that. God's not going to make you go all the way.
Right.
That's why I stopped Belinda Sunday night, I think it was, or whenever we were talking, maybe Sunday night. She's like, well, thank God for that seed because that seed's going to make me go all. I'm like, no, no, no. Thank God for the seed because that's eternal life. That's proof that you chose the right thing all the way through.
Right.
You chose.
Right.
You chose. Your choices are more important than we even give it credit.
Right.
Your choice for career, your choice for job, your choice for spouse, your choice for where you live. All these choices has it all determines what's going to happen with your life. Same way with the Word of God. It's your choosing to love the Word of God and believe the Word. You got to believe the Word. You have to believe the Word. God ain't going to make you. But when you hear the Word and you believe the Word, God will say, oh my goodness, they're going to go all the way with me. Give that Belinda a seed. That's what God does. God ain't down here trying to pump you up to get you saved. Oh, he knows the only one he's coming after is us home. I'm not trying to find everybody's keys. I only want mine. Ye have not chosen me, John chapter 15, verse 16. Now, that's why I said we have to understand this choosing. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, you say, wait a minute. I thought it was my choice. It is. But you got to understand when he chose, how he chooses. You choose, but God looks at your choice, and he goes back and puts your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world because of your choice. That's his choosing.
Right.
Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Why? He saw what you're going to do with the Word. Listen how he said this. Ye have not chosen me. That's St. John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You're going to produce. Everyone that chooses God will produce. That's why I have to follow you around and choose your life. You know, your choice, your life choices, you will choose to serve God. You will choose to serve God because you want to do that. You should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There's where his choice comes in. Not that your fruit goes away, but you're going to go all the way with that fruit. It's going to remain. You're going to complete your job. You're going to finish the course. That's where your choosing comes in. Your fruit will remain. There's a lot of people came to this church, their fruit didn't remain. They had fruit for a while, but it didn't remain. But those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's the fruit that remains. And that's where the choosing comes in. And that's how God chooses you. Now you say, well, is that difficult? That's not hard to understand. If you understand God's choosing, you'll understand you're choosing your life. You choose what car you want. You choose where you want to live. You choose what you're going to eat after church. Well, maybe not today. You're going to eat what somebody sets in front of you today. But in general, you choose. And when you choose, that sets everything else off in course. Okay. Now I'm going to have to wrap this up because I want to leave early today if I can. I don't know. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, the reason he draws you is because you have something in you to draw. That seed is in there. And what that seed is waiting on is the Word and the Spirit to quicken in your life. And that's when God draws you. How'd you get to here? You didn't just decide to come. God made a way. He put you in the environment so that you can be born again.
Right.
That's what he did with Adam. Adam, he put Adam in the garden. He placed him there. He did everything. And God does the same for you. He sets things up to get you where you need to be. I didn't know this church existed till God brought me here. I didn't know about the message. God showed it to me. See, he does the thing. God draws you, but he's only drawing those that he loves. And he only loves those that really go all the way with him and loves him. It's a love affair. And the thing is, God's doing this. It's not us, it's God. No matter how much we try to get in any other way, it's got to be God. It's not him that willeth or him that runneth. God that shows mercy. God is the one that does the choosing. You haven't chosen me, Jesus said. I chose you. Moses chose. I told you he chose to stay with Israel. He didn't want to stay. And I didn't want to bring it today, but I had this thing. Brother Brennan was describing the life of Moses. He said Moses was going to be Pharaoh so he could live and they could sit and they fan him and feed him and give him the drinks, and all the pretty girls would be around. Moses had a life that he could have just had it made. But he chose to go out there with Israel and fight and travel with them, and they were hard-headed, most of them didn't even believe, as Jay said, or Jeremiah said Wednesday night. Romans chapter 9. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. He raised him up, but he just used him. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. If you're not going all the way, God will just harden your heart. Somewhere along the line, you're going to get a hardened heart. If you really are loving this thing and wanting this thing and choosing this thing yourself, somewhere along the line, God's going to harden your heart. You say, how can they leave? Their heart got hardened. How can they stay home? Their heart got hardened. How can they avoid the church? Their heart got hardened. That's those who don't believe. He'll bring them a strong delusion. So, I'm trying to wrap this up because, okay, Elijah gave the people a choice. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Same thing I'll ask you today. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Whichever one. You know, do what's in your heart. I don't want you coming to church here and be miserable. I want you to be here because you want to be here. I want you to be a part of this thing because you want to be a part of this thing. I want you to serve God because you choose to serve God. That's your free will agency. You say, well, I don't even want to serve God. Then don't. That's what Elijah said. Don't sit here and not serve God. That's a terrible state to be in. You sit here and you're miserable here. You're scared to leave. You're scared to stay. You don't believe God, but yet you're scared that God's going to get you. That's a horrible position to be in. Make a choice this day. You know what? If you've never made a choice, today's the day. If you've never understood free moral agency and understood how it's your choice, today's your day. And when you make your choice, make it with all your heart. Amen. Don't half choose. Amen. Don't say, I'll go home and think about it. No, make a choice. Do you know if you go home and think about it, that's your choice? Yeah. You say, well, I choose not to go to church. I'm going to sit here and watch it on the internet. That's your choice. But what you going to get? You can't feel the spirit of an anointing that was here this morning. But that's your choice. You say, well, I haven't been blessed in years. That's your choice. You got to get in there. Push. This young man got to be. He said, I'm going to testify today. Some of these young people, some of these middle-aged people, some of these old people won't do it because I have a choice. Yes, you do. But you know what? You're not turned on either. You're miserable. Then you got out here and you fight yourself like, oh, I should have testified. I should have sang that song. I should have done. No, you don't have to. This is your house. It's your choice. Amen. That's what Joshua told the people. Choose this day who you're going to serve. So choice is not something new. It's been since the beginning in the Garden of Eden. When he put Adam in there, said, Adam, don't touch the tree, but it's your choice. But even in that, by God's foreknowledge, he knew what each one of us are going to choose today. When I finish up here today, it's going to be a choice for you. It's not going to be a choice for me. It's going to be a choice for you. I'm going to read one last thing because I'm just going to get out here to the end here. And many things in life, because I thought this was a perfect way to end. We are given a choice. The way of life itself is a choice. We have the right to make our own way, choose our own way that we want to live. However you want to live, you have a choice for that. Education is a choice. Who can choose whether we're going to be educated or whether we're not going to be educated? That choice, that's the choice we have. Right and wrong is a choice. Every man, every woman, boy and girl has to choose whether they're going to try to live right or not live right. It's a choice. Choice is a great thing. Your eternal destination is a choice. Well, we thought, well, I thought that, no, you're doing this. You're choosing this, Belinda. Your eternal destination is a choice. It's your choice. And maybe tonight, some of you will make that choice of whether you'll spend eternity before the service ends tonight. Where are you going to spend eternity before the service ends today? There'll be one time that if you turn God down many, there'll be one time you'll turn Him down the last time. There's a line between mercy and judgment. And you turn Him down, and it's a dangerous thing for a man or a woman, boy or girl, to step across that line. For there is no return when you step across the deadline. So tonight, Brother Branham said, I say today, it might be the same that many will make their decision where they'll spend the endless eternity. Endless eternity. That means you're either going to be forever with God or you'll never know God. In Matthew 25, he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Not I knew you and lost it, but I never knew you. Yes, that's eternally separated from God. That means you'll never get to know God. Never have and never will. But it's your decision, church. It's your choice. It's what you decide to do. This morning, this afternoon, when you walk out of these doors, it's your choice on whether you're going to serve God or you're going to turn Him down. And what you do with that choice will determine at some point your eternal destination. You say, well, I thought we had predestination. We do. But you're a free moral agent to choose it or not. That's how it works, church. So it's an hour to really examine ourselves and to appreciate the choices that you make. And be glad that you're making this choice. Like Elise said, I was afraid at one point because my friends that I grew up with and went to church with, they left. And I was afraid that I'm going to have that happen to me too. But then with these messages coming and finding out that it's choices that you make, it was their decision not to be here, and it's my decision to be here. Oh, that made her stronger. That makes me stronger. When I know that it's not about some pressure coming from somewhere or some form or some force outside of me, it's my decision to serve God. And I'm proud of that decision. They say, well, I can do this without God. Well, go ahead and do it without God. I cannot. I don't even want to. I am determined to serve Him all the days of my life. That is my choice. And by being a free moral agent, I can choose to serve God. Amen. And today I choose to serve God. What are you going to do today? Amen. You're going to serve God? You're going to choose to go another route? Right. Choose this day whom ye will serve. Amen. If God be God, serve Him. Give Him your all. Amen. Surrender everything. Don't try to hold on to this world. This world is on its way out. Don't try to hold on to your thinking. Your thinking's wrong. Submit yourself to God, and God will bless you for that. And by you enduring until the end, the same one that endures to the end shall be saved. That the proof of your predestination is that you'll endure until the end. The proof of your predestination is that you'll endure until the end. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Song says I'll follow wherever he leads me. I'm determined. And you need to be determined this morning. You say, well, I never thought it was that way. I thought that God had me predestinated and he was going to take care of me. He is, but it's by your choice. Free moral agency. It's your choice. Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon and so grateful for your truth. So thankful that you made it in such a way that we can choose to serve you. And I choose to serve you today. I'm so thankful that we have this as an opportunity to be able to stand and be identified with you, knowing that the world is gone, but Lord, you, by your foreknowledge, could see that I'm serious about this thing. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that never really made up their mind, never really stood for you, never really gone all the way and just chose you 100%, I pray that you'll just stir their hearts this morning, that they can surrender all to you and let you have it all, knowing that, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. And I want to prove to you that I'm a son of God by standing and choosing you. I choose eternal life. I choose serving God. And I pray those that are here today will do the same. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, bless the remainder of the day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Don't forget, no service tonight. Please stay for dinner. We have food in the back for, you know, everybody's having family dinners coming up with Thanksgiving. And I want to do that with my family. So please stay and enjoy the family dinner. It's your choice. Yes, no. Sing for a little while. Okay, I can do that. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Yes, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so full and free. Oh, yes, thank you. To Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the... That's a good question. Oh, are you washed in the blood? Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood? Oh, are you washed in the blood? Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Or will your soul be ready for the mansion bright? Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside, oh, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood. Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, it was us. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise. Every praise is to our. Every word of worship is on. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one on. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, every day of my life I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up fair. As we dismiss, let's sing that and then head that way. How'd you know that? Oh. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Yes, I